The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. Darren Woodson, good stuff. Podcast, The Darren Woodson Show. Ah. Took a while to come up with that one, but they did. They got it.
I mean, a lot more creative than
The Bench.
No. Or a show that would have that was airing at this time a couple months ago, John or Hill Dell. I mean, we're very creative in naming shows.
Well, we got all three in there.
Yeah.
Darren's like, I don't give a rat's ass about you too.
Well, he is the star.
He's the star.
There's no question.
The other guys. Big toe guys.
Who are the other guys? Do we even get their names?
One guy, he said his name, and I was like, never heard of him.
Exactly.
Clutch. Somebody Clutch or something.
There's only one Clutch, and he runs Clutch Fans.
And
the Bear.
And the Bear. Clutch the Bear.
There too.
Yeah. Not as good as he was.
There's a new Bear.
There is a new Bear. So this website did a... It is called, okay, I don't know. It's LWS. LWS? Oh, last word on profootball.com. Last word on profootball.com. Texans' most difficult games, ranking their games.
Would the first two be 1 and 2?
First two are 1 and 2. And there's no, I mean, everybody's toughest game was going to be at Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And then
followed by, well, the Texans have Baltimore at home, but Baltimore then at home. Baltimore, for anyone who has that, would be almost just as tough.
Right. What would you guess their third is?
I don't remember what their schedule was.
Oh, you got to pull it up. Well, but this is a team, well, they play them every year. At Tennessee, they've got us the third toughest game. What a couple of things that says to me is, number one, your schedule isn't all that hard.
Or don't they play the NFC North this year?
Yeah.
They don't think much of the NFC North. What are the road NFC North games?
At the Bears and at the Lions.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. They've got the Packers and Vikings here.
Yeah. Then a road game at Tennessee makes sense.
Yeah, but doesn't that tell you what that immediately, if your third toughest game is at Tennessee, you just won?
Yeah, but I think people remember that Tennessee went on that run.
Yeah.
And now the Texans beat them in the middle of that run, but they made an AFC title game and actually had a lead in that game. So I think that's what people are pointing to.
Yeah, but if you're in NFC West, if you're in the NFC South, I mean, at Tennessee would not even be close to your...
No.
Right?
If you are, let's say, the Panthers and you have the Saints...
The Bucks. At the Saints, at the Bucks, at the... Well, Falcons.
Well, yeah. Well, I think...
How about if you're the West.
If you're the Cardinals and you have the Seahawks and the 49ers and throwing the Rams too, certainly. We know the AFC South isn't strong, but I will say Tennessee on the road, and if we think they're going to be really good again, that's a legitimate top three though. You have the two most talented teams in AFC, and maybe the two most talented teams overall in the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then you throw in the AFC finalists.
Yeah. Next, it's at Pittsburgh.
That's dependent on Ben, certainly.
Obviously, with Ben back, and their pass rush is pretty damn good.
But the Packers and Vikings come to the town. I know they're home games, but I think the Packers and Vikings are better than the Steelers.
Wait till you hear this. At the Steelers is their fourth toughest game. I mean, yeah. And then the Vikings they got as the fifth.
That Packers division, when people scoff at that a little bit, but it wasn't like the Packers did make the NFC title game.
Right. I'm not a believer in the Packers by any means, but listen up. They got the Vikings fifth at the Colts sixth, I would put at the Colts ahead of the Vikings at home.
Did the Packers fall off? I know the draft was a problem for them.
Well, they did. Oh, the only thing is they don't have any receivers. They picked up Devin Funchess. That's it.
But they didn't have those receivers last year.
No, but they still got Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I would say the Packers haven't fallen off so much that they're behind the Colts and the Vikings as far as tough games.
No, I know you got them at home. Listen to this. They've got, okay, so it goes Chiefs, at Chiefs, Ravens, at Tennessee, at Pittsburgh, Vikings here, at the Colts, which I would put at the Colts harder than the Vikings game. At Cleveland.
Well,
and then Green Bay here.
So what is that, the ninth game or eighth game?
Eighth game.
At Cleveland.
At Cleveland 7.
I think that particular website's pulling stuff out of their backside. Because as that list gets the two obvious ones at the top, you can throw in Tennessee. There's a real argument for that. But once the Packers shouldn't be behind a Cleveland team that's proven nothing. New head coach. Turmoil last year. Now they've added Conklin to help protect Baker. But Baker has plenty to prove. Why would a game at Cleveland be more challenging?
Well, here's the deal.
Is it cold weather?
Yeah.
Are they thinking that? Is it a cold weather game with Cleveland possibly? Is that a late?
Week 10.
Well, relatively.
No, it's not going to be. It's
October?
Yeah. Well, shouldn't Cleveland have been better than they were and with a new head coach,
Stefanski? We don't know anything about Stefanski. As a coach, certainly. We don't know what he is. I mean, Freddie Kitchens came in hot, then it turns out he wasn't a leader of men, among other problems. I'm not knocking Stefanski. I just don't know what he is as a head coach. So why would you take that team over LaFleur, despite his issues or alleged issues with Aaron Rodgers, was the head coach of a team who made the NFC title game. Now, I know it's at home for the Packers, but it's not like Houston, Texas is an environment that people are scared to come play in.
Well, and Packers and Aaron Rodgers have come in here before.
Yeah.
And kicked their ass. I mean, kicked their ass. So, and I don't believe in the Packers. I don't think they have a lot of talent, but they sure did play well last year.
Yeah.
They sure showed me.
Packers are questionable, and they look outmatched in their NFC title game, but they were in it, and I'm not taking a game at Cleveland
over that. No. Next, week 9, at Detroit. They've got at Detroit ahead of at the Bears, which I think is silly. They've got at Detroit, their ninth toughest game. Tennessee Titans at home, their 10th toughest game, and at the Bears, their 11th.
A good football team, I don't care where it's played, I feel it's tougher than playing Detroit on the road.
Agreed.
So who cares if
Detroit hasn't been a good team in how long? Yeah. Even though Matthew Stafford is back,
they'll still be average at best. At least in my eyes.
Yes.
Tennessee at home is tougher. They're a good football
team. And the Bears are a better football team, by the way.
That too. And if they get any type of quarterback play, they'll be above average. And I think you think they're winning that division, right? You said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know where you stand there. Yeah. Detroit is bad. I'm not taking bad football teams on the road. I mean, just they're bad. I'll take the good team.
Mm-hmm. They got week 12, the Colts here. 13 is the Patriots.
Well, I laugh at that, but I wouldn't take the Patriots behind the Lions. I mean, unless Stidham is atrocious. And Hoyer's their backup. We know Hoyer's can be okay enough where they're average, and they have a really good defense. I think the rankings get a lot worse as they go on, as far as toughest games.
At Jacksonville is their 14th toughest game. The Bengals here is their 15th, and Jacksonville here is their easiest game.
Can you believe they have Joe Burrow as one of the toughest, easiest games on the schedule?
It's dumb. Just stupid.
And is that game later in the year? Because who knows? The Bengals might be playing better.
Week 16.
Yeah, so the Bengals might have figured some stuff out.
Or Joe Burrow might be dead.
Yeah, or concussed. Who knows what it is? I won't put dead on him, but maybe, hey, you've taken a beating this year. We're gonna arrest you and throw whoever else is behind us. Oh, Ryan Finley, whoever it is. I feel like that website got worse in terms of their reasoning.
I don't have any problem with Jacksonville and Cincinnati.
No, they should be at the back.
Yeah, they should be the last two. And at Jacksonville, yes. But no. At the Lions is on Thanksgiving Day, which just makes it tougher.
Yeah, that is a thing. So maybe did they give reasoning or did they just rank them?
Yeah, they give reasons.
So they
the return of Matthew Stafford, additions of DeAndre Swift, Kenny Galladay, T.J. Hockenson, they're going to be better.
Possibly.
But the defenses.
Yeah, and by the time that game rolls around, who knows, that might be a lost season for the Lions.
Right. Oh, it absolutely
will. Who knows who's even, is Patricia still coaching? Is Stafford injured again? You never know.
Right. And at Cleveland, ahead of the Packers.
It's a little
Vikings insulting. Ahead of the Packers. Why? The Vikings have had all kinds of losses. And they didn't go as far in the playoffs last year. And they don't have Aaron Rodgers.
No, it's a little disrespectful of the Packers.
No. You insulted them a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Listen, I'm with them. I was a little disrespectful of the Packers last year.
No,
a little bit. But I'll admit it. I'm going to admit it right now. No, I agree with, man, but I'm going to tell you what. This schedule ain't too. I mean,
what? It's a schedule that 10 wins is,
but
not out of the. Well,
and here's the deal: question. Four of their toughest games are in the four of their five toughest games are in the first 4 weeks.
Yes.
So, you know, getting off to everybody's like, well, you're going to get off to a bad start. You know what? This team's gotten off to bad starts before.
And
if they're 1-3 after those four games, you know, I don't think they're in bad shape.
Yeah, unless Tennessee's 4-0, they're still going to be they'll be alive. I mean, three games back is rough, but if Tennessee's getting off to a 2-2, 3-1 start, they still have a shot if they go 1-3.
And without D-Hop, the offense is probably going to have some growing pains.
And I was thinking,
Timmy is going to have some growing pains calling all the plays.
How long will that last?
Well, the first half of the first game.
There's a preseason, even though currently scheduled, that would allow for Timmy to screw up enough where Bill O'Brien takes those duties away from him by week one. Who knows? Who knows who's calling plays week one?
That is absolutely true. Timmy, what are you doing?
Is it a little insulting to call a grown man Timmy when
he calls him?
Does he? He calls him Timmy Kelly?
Bill Bryan does.
Bill Bryan. Shout out to Kyle McNair. I was thinking about this. First four games of the year, I know Texas is opening up, but maybe that Kansas City game is 25% capacity, 40%. Who knows how many fans? It may get easier. How many fans are actually in that building for that game? I don't know what Missouri is doing as far as capacity-wise.
I don't really care how many people. I know, there could be nobody in the stands.
I know. The Chiefs are really talented. But it helps if Texas absolutely. Can operate in relative silence.
It's a tough place to play.
Yeah. So who knows how difficult the environment will be. Now, the Chiefs will make it as difficult as possible. But they feed off their crowd, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas may have an advantage if Missouri's only allowing 25 to 40% of capacity.
Is that why they won on a 51-7 run?
Because of all the fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was too loud in there.
Oh, no. Maybe it was because...
No. JJ forgot contain on the quarterback because of how loud it was.
Ugh.
I mean, Lonnie Johnson would have covered Travis Kelce better if there were less fans.
Would he have?
Yeah.
Would he?
Yeah.
Would he, Dell?
Yes.
Okay.
His equilibrium was thrown off by all the sound.
By the noise?
Yeah. Although the Chiefs are on the offense, so it wasn't that loud at the time. It got loud after Kelce made a play.
Made a catch.
Yeah. But during coverage, it wasn't loud. Yeah, it's not going to matter. Sounds like the crowd's not going to matter.
10-16, ESPN 97.5. Anyway, I don't know about this list, people. I never heard of Last Word on Pro Football.
Then why are we giving them so much attention?
Well, I just thought, breaking down the games and giving...
That's nice.
Yeah, and giving, you know, the opinion on what the toughest games are. I just don't agree with theirs.
I got you.
I do agree with Keith Tate, though, everything he does. Because he makes the best basketball in the world, basketball goal in the world. This is true. This is not arguable. We'll go to the mats on this one, okay? Because Keith Tate has been doing this forever, and I had his goal, and you see his goal. When you drive by a house and you see one of those old dilapidated goals, and you're like, wow, people, that it actually looks like you're in a – it does. It makes it look really, really your home, really shoddy. But when you got a Keith Tate goal, it's like, wow, that is a really nice goal. These people know what they're doing. These people care. And not only that, but they care about their kids because their kids get to play on a goal that they can lower and actually have fun. Whereas the other goals are just going to, you staple it to your garage and they can't enjoy it until they're much older. Well, you want your little kids to be able to have fun too. And they can only have fun with the Pro Dunk Hoops goal. ProDunkHoops.com. You're looking for the best goal in the market. Tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim, the unrustable stanchion. They have all the accessories. They've got everything you could possibly need. Your kids want to play this summer. Mom, Dad, ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
The ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. This year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us, and we want to celebrate athletic achievement right here at home. ESPN 97.5 is honoring a local athlete whose senior season was cut short due to the COVID-19 health crisis. Tweet at ESPN97.5 and the hashtag HoustonESPY before June 9th to nominate and say why that senior high school or college athlete is deserving of the Houston Honorary ESPY. We'll share our final five nominees and announce our Houston Honorary ESPY winner on Tuesday, June 9th during the Blitz. Join us in celebrating local senior high school college athletes, senior high school and college athletes. So if you know someone who could not finish their season, let us know. They got a chance to win an ESPY.
Carl Ravitch has tweeted out 76 games. The owners have made a proposal to the players. 76-game season, 75% prorated salary. So that's just five games under half a season and yet 75% of the prorated. Yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah.
The players, maybe the players come back with 90%.
And
well, you know what? If you want to do 90% of the prorated salary, you ask for 75.
Yeah, you do, and then you listen to their counterproposal. You him and haw, and then you find a way.
Playoff pool money, no draft pick compensation for signing player. Season finishes September 27th. Postseason ends at the end of October. Significant move towards player demands and effort to play more. According to sources, this equates to roughly $200 million more in player salaries. The 50-game season is not a threat, rather a negotiated right. Hopefully this spurs further dialogue. If not, we will play a short season.
Hey,
I don't see a 50-game season. There's no way. I don't think the players will ever agree to that.
I heard over the weekend that they could play a 50-game season without an agreement. Like, I don't know how that happens. I don't know if how a team or the owners can demand that they come back, but there was like they could do 50 games without an actual agreement.
Oh, that's in the collective bargaining agreement?
Apparently.
Well, see, that's what he meant by that, I guess. Yeah. The 50-game season is not a threat, rather a negotiated right.
Yeah, so the players would have to come back.
Yeah.
If the owners decide.
Huh. And if they don't come back, they don't get the year of
service time.
Service.
Yeah.
Unless they all band together and just say, we ain't doing that. Well, but they negotiated that.
Then you're on strike.
Yeah.
Now that's starting to leak out. That wasn't part of the initial. Hey, we have a 50-game thing in place where it's already negotiated. The owners will start to, if the players reject this and are strongly rejected, the owners are like, we got a 50-game thing that you guys have already agreed to. That'll get pushed more and say, hey, we want to play baseball. We couldn't agree to this, but we will play at 50, and then we'll see how the players respond to the world knowing that, well, you guys already said you'd do this if it came down to it, and you're not going to. I'm still playing politics, I feel like, but we'll see.
Yeah. You think they get it done? I think they do now. This seems like a more, you see, this as opposed to their counteroffer of 56 games and the crap that they were throwing out there, this seems like a more palatable offer.
I think so. And I don't think the players want to be known for the guys who went on strike. If it becomes a thing where the owners say, we want you to do this at 76. We think that's something we can negotiate and maybe move some things around off of that to make it work for you. But if not, we have the 50 game plan in place that you already agreed to. And if you don't play, that means you're going on strike. I don't think they want the label of going on strike on their ticket.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like it's completely your fault.
Well, then it is.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I guess, unless the it was unreasonable what the... Now, playing, what is it, 5 games short of a half a season and only offering 75% of the prorated?
That's a little...
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I could see being upset with that.
I could certainly see the players coming back and saying, how about 95%?
Or 85, whatever.
Well, no, I think... I
know it's not equal.
They want to get the entire proration.
Oh, I know it's not equitable.
Because that was negotiated before, though, and I see their point.
No, I'm not even disagreeing with it, but if it comes down to it, will the owners jump from 75 to 95, or will they jump to 85 and go, okay, you guys are right about this, let's go 85? Because they use 75 for a reason. Is it for 90, or do they think 85 is their comfortable number?
Well, they're getting more games for less money.
Oh, I know, but you said if you drop 75 when they're actually more comfortable, they could be comfortable with 90. Are they comfortable at 85, and that's the word they want it?
Maybe
they want it to be. I don't know. It's all they're all playing.
Well, you
ain't
asking for 90 if you want 90.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm just trying to. So who knows what the number they're actually good with is? That's why they do this back and forth.
Right. Well, I think anything short of a prorated season will be a win for the owners, and I think they'd be happy. We don't want to pay you what we agreed to, that prorated amount.
Yeah, you know that whole thing where we said we'd do something? We don't want to do that.
Yeah. Right. That we're not doing that.
And they want to seem, at least amongst themselves, I don't know how many fans actually care about if any at all do. They want to seem like they won. They want to be able to say they won this. And I know it's a money thing too, but there's a whole we got you on this one thing. I was even reading about the MLS and how the MLS players, like there was a threat of a lockout, but it's the MLS, so how many people were actually locked in on it. They got it done. They're going to play. They're still figuring out stuff, but it looks like they're going to Orlando and playing. The MLS players are like, man, we got jobbed here. Like, it feels like all the progress we made, because they had negotiated something beforehand for the 2020 season going forward, but because of COVID, they had to renegotiate, and they felt like they lost all the gains they made, but they feel like they got to play. Got to get paid.
Well, guess what, though? I mean, that you would act your ass.
Yeah.
You know what, MLS? You ain't got no ass. You got a flat booty.
Yeah. I don't see the Premier League players having the same issues. At least I haven't heard about it. I don't know what their CBA is about. But, yeah, the MLS, like, we just lost all the progress we made. We got raked.
Nope.
Yeah.
And guess what? You can what is your leverage if you're an MLS player? Oh, you ain't gonna play? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there. Some of you could go to Europe. Not a lot of you. That's no, why you're kind of playing.
That's
over
why you're here.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Figure it out. Yeah.
Where are you gonna go? 713-780-3776 1028 ESPN 97.5. We just got a couple segments left. If you got anything to add, you're more than welcome to get in.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.
If I make another wish, I'll wish for a wish for you.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Interesting, Pro Football Focus says that Deshaun Watson was third in the league on lost yards on drop passes last year. Dak led the league with 392 yards lost. And I guess that's just where you dropped it. That doesn't count what more you would have gotten.
Yeah, yards after the catch. Yeah.
Yards after the drop.
No, yeah.
There is no yards after drop.
That's very true.
Carson Wentz, 391. Deshaun, 363. Phillip Rivers, 326. Garoppolo, 317. One of the problems is now Brandon Cooks did not have a great year last year, but he is a deep ball threat. And he could improve the deep ball and how many yards you get on deep balls. But Randall Cobb had the second most drop passes with the Cowboys at 8.
I was just looking that up.
So he had 8 drops, and he's coming out. Now he's going to drop him for Deshaun,
who is used to guys dropping footballs, and now doesn't have one of the elite ball winners in the league.
And he's got one of the elite ball losers in Will Fuller already. Now, he's been better.
Yes.
You got to give him some credit. He has gotten better. But he, in his career, he has dropped plenty of deep balls.
I didn't notice it so much last year.
No.
No. When he was on the field, that wasn't...
But, you know, he wasn't exclusively... They did a lot of dig routes, a lot of stops, a lot of outs. They used him a lot. Of course, he's a fast guy, so you would imagine the corner's going to be playing off of him, and he can stop and catch a lot of balls. But, you know, he was brought in here to stretch the field.
Compliment what you had in DeAndre and if whoever the slot receiver is going to be. And now, does Randall Cobb become the stretch the field guy? And
Will Fuller becomes your Cooks.
Your number one. Yeah, not Randall Cobb. Cooks.
Right.
Randall Cobb's your
own. Well, Cobb's pretty quick too now.
True, but I don't know.
And Stills is pretty quick too.
Quick. Cobb's quick. So that underneath stuff, I think, will be his deal. Stills is still a deep threat along with Will Fuller, with Brandon Cooks. Does Will Fuller become your all the route tree guy now?
Maybe. I mean, they want him to be a number one guy. However, well, I don't know. Is he going to, because he's got the groin, he's got the sports hernia, he's got the hamstrings. Do you want him running a long way, or do you just want to do 3 yard outs?
If we gotta limit him to outs and hitches, it's gonna be a problem. You run, I don't say run him to the ground, but you understand the risk. That's why, you know, you're paying your wide receiver core all those exorbitant prices. Just treat him like the one you think he is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really think Deshaun is going to benefit from more yards per throw, yards per attempt. His YPA will go up. And Bucky Brooks made the argument that the Texans are going to be better without DeAndre Hopkins. I fully believe that they could be a better offense this year.
That is dependent on your quarterback making it a priority that, hey, now this guy, my guy isn't here. Distribution will be a bigger deal, and I don't have guys who are simply going to win 50-50 balls, so getting the ball out of my hands quick.
Right.
It's going to be a bigger factor.
And throwing deep more, because DeAndre's not a deep threat.
No. So the ball will probably, like that's that air yards will probably be bigger this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, are they going to be a down-the-field team?
Well,
as opposed to a bunch of little guys, like, you know.
They have a bunch of little guys.
Little air raid.
But all their little guys are, except for Cobb, are deep guys. Stills, now you can play Stills on the slot, but he runs those over routes and deep. And at least he's at his best, at least when I watched him play as a Dolphin.
Well, that's why Fuller maybe has to do that too.
It's getting behind guys. You don't have a bunch of big, strong dudes, but you have a bunch of guys who can get by people down the field. So it will stand the reason that Cobb and whoever your tight ends are going to be, and maybe you're running, maybe David Johnson becomes a guy you use underneath to supplement some of that stuff. But you use your speed down the field, whether it's to back off guys, get those digs or comebacks for easy completions, or to run by guys. That's, at least it seems like that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you hope that this helps Deshaun with all that speed on the field. As long as it's healthy, teams will be too scared, and you're going to have space underneath when one of those guys isn't running a deep route.
The biggest worry that I've seen about Deshaun without DeAndre Hopkins is that he's not all that accurate, and DeAndre makes up for it with unbelievable hands, going up and getting balls that other guys can't get. And I see that.
Yeah, there are times when Deshaun, I won't call him wild, but the placement isn't always great. Deshaun makes a play. I mean, DeAndre would make a play. Well, I don't, it's what, year four now already for Deshaun? Is it year four?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much the accuracy will improve, but you hope the decision-making and timing improves. And how is that going to happen when you can't really practice? When does he begin working with those guys full-time? Is it right at August? Is that when it's the most likely scenario?
Tom Brady can throw to his guys. Why can't Deshaun be throwing to his guys?
Well, we don't. Is Deshaun doing that?
He better be doing it.
He was at a rally.
He better be doing it.
He was at a rally.
The rally ended. We can go now to go back and throw to your receivers.
I don't know. Is Brandon Cooks in Houston? Is Kenny Stills in Houston?
Can you get here?
Kenny Stills is a rally guy, too, if you don't know.
Again, then get here.
Are you telling people how to enjoy their summer?
Yep. Yep. No, their summer.
Yeah, it's June.
They've been off since 51-7. Time to get to work. Time to get to work. Okay.
All I know is
Do you get 5 months off of your job every year? No. Time to get
to work. I'm also not a highly trained athlete.
You're also not making their money. I'm pretty sure.
You make money so you can have all that time off. They do a highly competitive, dangerous thing, John. They deserve all the time off they want.
They make money so they can spend money.
We make a lot of money. But we spend a lot of money. Shout out to Patrick Union. Speaking of guys who didn't handle labor strife well.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Ewing. Mike D'Antoni says, I think it's a big deal not having fans. Some guys, I think, will perform even better without the pressure of fans. Is there someone that we're maybe referring to there?
He wouldn't admit to it if he was.
And is there home court advantage now? No. If you're not the higher seed, maybe that's an advantage for the lower seed. And where are the Rockets? And do the Rockets have, I guess Toyota Center is a home court advantage.
It is,
but it's not Golden State.
Yeah, or the elevation of Denver or other places. But yeah, it's a home court. But I don't think it gets the reputation that the other places do.
No, and early in games, I can see where the Rockets would be flat.
Yeah.
Because nobody's there.
Very true. It does help. Teams who are going to have to start on the road and end series on the road if they're at game seven. I don't think there's any question that playing those games in what might be a sanitized environment in Orlando, and not just the COVID jokes, but literally it's like a hospital. There's no excitement. You're just playing a game, and best team wins. Yeah, it helps the teams who don't have to deal with home courts.
I hate it for them. This is all Mark Berman tweeted this stuff out. I hate it for them, but I'm happy for them that we can do at least this. If we do our job, get a little lucky, we can meet everybody downtown right in front of the Toyota Center.
He's talking about a parade for a title.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only way you're going to be around at that time is if you win a title. Because I imagine if you don't win one, you won't be in Houston. That ruling, Gordon Tillman, will be Daryl's call. And you might be out if you're not winning a title. Well, and the season D'Antoni could be in a parade October 12th.
D'Antoni, 69.
Yes.
Could be in a parade.
Could be in a parade or in his summer house in West Virginia or wherever he lives. Does he?
More likely.
Oh, he'll be in, isn't it?
More likely parade or he'll be at the Greenbrier playing golf.
B.
I
should have just said B before you even got to that second option.
More likely he'll be in a parade.
B.
Yeah. Oh my God. The regular season hasn't worked out for Houston, which has come up short of its goal. Really? A short joke? A Rockets short joke? Really?
What?
The Rockets have come up short. Come on. You're better than this.
No, they're not. That's why you made the joke.
Yeah. This small ball. I mean, all of this, it's gimmicky. Everything about this team is kind of...
You know who loves all the time off? PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
That's the guy who's like, whew, man, thank you. I was wearing down. Man. Appreciate it, everybody.
You got me on Nurkic. You got me on Gobert. You got me on... What?
Yes. Well, I'm just thinking about the run. Right now, they're the sixth seed, and I think the Jazz are the three seed right now. So, no, the Nuggets are. So Jokic.
Nurkic is coming back.
Yeah. It looks like that's the case, but Portland has to make the playoffs. I don't know if they have him on the schedule the rest of the way.
A Nurkic and a Jokic and a
He's got a Jokic.
Gobert.
And he might have a Montrezl, as you call him, in the second round.
I love that.
Yeah.
Man, he's like, needed this break, bro.
PJ's clearly he's not thrilled about COVID, but a guy who will come in fresh and like, okay, I could do this for a couple months as opposed to the 8-month thing it would have been.
Right. I'm good. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's see how it plays out.
You know what? By the fourth game, he's going to be like, screw this.
Hey, can Hartenstein get a couple of minutes, please?
A couple? That big white dude?
And the rosters, they're contemplating rosters, Lance talked about earlier, being expanded in case of a COVID outbreak or even a couple guys getting getting it on the roster. So you might have multiple players. And the thought is, like Lance pointed out, you could sign a guy who's on an NBA roster or in the G League and come in. So the Rockets are lacking a big man, and they see that as a priority. Although, as we've seen, small balls are a deal. You could bring in a guy off. If as long as they've been on the roster.
I don't want nobody over 6'6".
Well, PJ might be pushing
that
for
that
it.
Ain't what we doing. I mean, with the D'Antoni offense and the nobody over 6'6", it's just so gimmicky. What team has won an NBA title with a 6'6 center?
No one.
Nobody. I remember Dave Cowens was shorter. Wes Unsell was shorter. But that's back. We're back in the day now.
Now, NBA teams have gone small to close out games. Like, even before Kevin Durant, the Warriors' death lineup didn't feature a guy over, like, 6'8 or so. I mean, Draymond was playing center for them. So if you can point to that and go, well, they didn't start with the center, but they ended games with the center. But Draymond didn't play center for 40 minutes a night. Like, yeah. PJ's going to be playing playoffs. PJ's going to be kind of doing
gonna
that.
Going to be tired.
Yeah.
All right, 1043 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, 1046, ESPN 97.5. We call it News of the Weird, and there's some weird stuff going on out there. Dell, apparently 7-Eleven is going to sell life insurance in Japan. Do you want 7-Eleven life insurance?
And they're not doing it in this country?
Apparently not.
Huh. I don't think I think of 7-Eleven as my life insurance company. Like, because I got to imagine the hot dogs they sell will shorten anyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what type of value they're providing.
Customers will be able to register the necessary information through multifunction machines in 7-Eleven's 20,000 stores. The application process is complete once they pay the insurance fee at the cashier. You can buy insurance. I want 7-Eleven insurance.
Well, I've never.
It's got to be cheaper, doesn't it?
I've never bought life insurance. Do you have to meet with someone, or is that something you can just do online?
Yeah, no, you have to. Yeah,
because don't they have to evaluate you and stuff? Like, to make sure, you know, you don't have all these pre-existing conditions. Huh. Hmm. I don't know. I've never done it. But,
yeah, you have to take a physical.
Yeah. Are they going to give me a physical at 7-Eleven?
Well, there's some places you don't have to take a physical. But I don't think you're going to get a good rate if you don't.
Do they challenge you to drink a big gulp in a certain amount of time?
Do they have a doctor right there to turn your head and cough?
These are things we need answers to.
Yes.
Before I sign up.
Do you want to get a physical at 7-Eleven?
No.
Okay.
I don't. No, there's not going to be a doctor on site. The guy who put the burritos in the freezer, I don't want him asking me to turn my head and cough.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's a good story, Dell.
It's not going to be a good story.
It's a great story.
No, it isn't.
Lord Digby Jones. He is an English lord, Lord Digby Jones. He feels like if they build a new $100 million yacht, that Royal Yacht Britannia, that will boost the UK's morale.
Because there's a giant yacht now in the water?
Yeah. Will you, if you're an English, if you're from England, will you feel better about, hey, I feel better. There's a new $100 million yacht that the Royals have.
Well, you have to relate it to people so they can understand the story. So what would be the equivalent here? Like if Tillman built a new hotel, not an Oedipus.
Well, no, this is just a toy, though, for the Royals. So that would be way different.
I was thinking of the word, an artifice, the word is.
What if Trump built a new gigantic mansion on his golf course? would you feel $100 million mansion? Would you feel better? Wouldn't morale be better?
No.
Yeah.
For who? Morale for who?
I feel great. You would feel like, oh, look at that. That's totally sweet.
Because Trump, because our president built a mansion on his golf course, you feel better?
Yeah. And built a whole golf course. $100 million. That'd be awesome.
I don't think, considering the issues people have with him going to play golf right now, that would be great for his political career.
Wouldn't you feel better about it? Well, and suppose he retires. He's got a good place to retire to. I'll feel better about it.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
What if the money was coming out of your pocket?
It is. Taxpayer money.
Exactly. And that would make you feel better?
Yeah. I feel like, hey, as long as he's happy, Melania's happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a woman who looks thrilled with life.
She does. I want her to be comfortable.
I saw someone tweet when Melania found him and they got married. She thought she would have done by him by now. Like he would have been. Yeah. He would have been dead. Because he's like 70 something. I know they say he's in great shape. I know his doctor says he's in the greatest shape. 249 pounds, whatever. Some people are like, this guy, I don't know if he does drugs. In fact, there's thoughts that he doesn't, but he would have done all these things and he would be dead by now and she'd be living a good life. She doesn't look like a woman who feels good about what's going on.
Yeah, no, she doesn't smile too often.
No.
I can't. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not living with him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it
doesn't seem like he'd be all that wonderful to live with. I don't know. Currently, but that's just me.
Just not now. I mean, the stress of being president is rough.
Google Chrome says it's getting away from words blacklist and whitelist to be more inclusive.
I appreciate that from Google Chrome. As a Google Chrome user, it did strike me as a little funny that blacklist was bad. Actually, I don't care. Whatever, Google Chrome, do whatever. Were people really complaining?
Got a place to go if you don't want to live in the USA anymore.
Canada?
Ghana.
Ghana?
Yeah.
Why would I want to live? What's in Ghana?
Well, I don't know, but it says, come to Ghana. If you're not wanted in the U.S., tourism minister to African Americans as they lay wreath for George Floyd.
Does he tell people what the state of affairs are in Ghana right now?
Well, he says, it's a great place. Come live here.
These are one of the things where you shoot your shot, but ain't nobody going to Ghana.
That's like you shooting your shot at Blake Lively. That just ain't happening.
Why am I getting hit? I would never do
that. Well, you're the only single one here.
She's a married woman. Why would I do that?
Well, I know, but guess what? There's just another reason.
As much as I can't stand marriage as a thought, I believe in the sanctity of it if you are married, and I would never. No matter Blake Lively, the Hooters girl, doesn't matter. You're married. Off limits. That's just how it should be.
That's it. That's how you're right. That is how it should be. Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam will no longer carry weapons.
I thought they would take the lisp and the stutter away from.
Oh well, that's another thing.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be an issue for Elmer. Look, Yosemite Sam, even as a kid, I always looked at him a little funny.
Yes.
He was.
You think Yosemite might have a little bit of? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what this guy's.
Where's his origin? He's like from the mountains, or where? I just looked at him and the way he treated that rabbit, I was like, "All right, Yosemite, you're a little aggressive."
But Elmer Fudd always had a rifle. How's he gonna catch? Okay,
he never caught. What do you mean? How's he gonna catch
him?
He never caught
him. How's he gonna hunt him with what? What's he gonna hunt him with
why,
now?
Why is it?
Well, apparently he's not gonna have guns, but maybe he.
Bow and arrow? How's he going to hunt? Just set a trap? Because rabbits, you don't really... Do you shoot rabbits or do you set snare traps for them?
They can still do TNT, the acne stuff. He's got a sickle here.
So Looney Tunes
version... I don't know about a sickle.
So Looney Tunes version of weapons of mass destruction, dynamite and TNT are still okay?
Yeah, but the guns are not.
Okay.
He
has a sickle?
He's got a... Yeah. What? Sickle. I don't know why he's chasing him with a sickle. My life is hell and I'm dying in prison. Joe Exotic. He's reaching out to Kim Kardashian.
She does get people
and President Trump and Cardi B.
I know Kim Kardashian has done things to have people released from jail. And just from she talks to the president and they've had some type of relationship regarding that. I don't know if Joe Exotic's going to be on her list. What's he in jail for again? The conspiracy to kill?
Yeah. Conspiracy to murder
Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
I feel like Joe should stay there.
What?
It's all on tape.
Who's going to write the songs now?
What? You can make music from prison.
No, not really. Joe Exotic. But where's... Wait a minute. How's he going to get his fancy outfits? He's not going to be able to have costume changes. Oh, none of that.
He was looking rough in those pictures from prison.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to last another 3 or 4 months in here.
Because he can't dye his hair blonde?
Apparently not. Apparently not. Last one. Dana White wants to fight Dan Le Batard. Who you got?
I got Dana White. If they're and Dan was like, it's gonna cost you more. He said you're not gonna screw me over like you do your fighters. He goes, I want a bigger cut.
You're on the clock, Dan Le Batard. He pledged $250,000 for a charity fight against ESPN's Dan Le Batard.
Dan said, "That ain't enough. You ain't gonna do me like you do them."
Yep.
I appreciate it. I imagine it would happen on Fight Island. You take Dana White. Dan doesn't look like a fighter. He's a talk show host.
Yeah, Stu Gatz maybe.
Stu Gatz would get his ass kicked too. Who is Stu Gatz beating?
No, not Stu Gatz. Who's the other guy that they used to have on there?
I don't remember.
And he left ESPN. He left. Oh gosh. Anyway.
Oh, but before we go, the MLB has responded. Courtesy of Ellen Evangelic on Twitter. The MLBPA regards today's offer from MLB to be worse than the league's last because it shifts greater emphasis on risk sharing in the postseason. Players will receive 50% of pro rata if there is no postseason, 75% if there is. So
they didn't. Ravitch failed to mention that.
Yeah, that if the season got canceled, they would only get 50%.
Oh, he failed to mention that. 1057 ESPN, they ain't going to play. 1057 ESPN, 97.5, the Press Box. Up next, y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.